So, question to start off, maybe for the people that grew up in church and been going to church for a long time, when a preacher is going to stand up and say the word stewardship, what are they usually going to talk about? Money, building projects, right? Absolutely. Well, I am going to talk about money today, but I'm going to be talking about a lot more, because that word stewardship sometimes is just defined down into money, give us some more of it, but it really, really is about everything. It's about every aspect of your life. It's not just your bank account. So the title of my message today is Wise Stewardship. Living well with what God gives. So, to illustrate, before I define the word stewardship, the Bible gives great examples of faithful stewards, and one of my very favorite is Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, was taken down into Egypt, into a foreign land, and he was made the servant of a man named Potiphar. And in Genesis 39, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He, being Potiphar, left all that he owned under Joseph's authority. He did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate." So Joseph was put into Potiphar's home, and through faithful service, he eventually was made the manager of the house. Which another word for steward is manager. So another word for stewardship would be management, how he managed. Potiphar elevated him until where he was in command of all things. He managed everything that Potiphar gave it. He managed it faithfully. Even in a foreign land, even under difficult circumstances, he honored God by wisely handling what was given to him. Well, we're here in Mid, Missouri. No one sold into slavery in Egypt. So you say, well, that was Joseph. Well, what about me? Well, what do you have in front of you? Now, that's different for everybody. But every one of us has things in front of us. Your time, your life, your possessions, your family, your influences, your positions, whatever it is that you have, you are called to manage it well. We are all stewards. Everything we have, our time, our relationship, belongs to God. You may ask, why does it belong to God? Why isn't it mine? And I would say, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And if you say, yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, then you were bought. Just as much as Joseph was bought, you were bought with a price of Christ's blood. You were purchased. You are a servant of Christ. If you claim him as your Lord and Savior, you're saying, I am a servant of Christ. Therefore, you are a steward of the things that God has assigned to you. And you say again, well, what is that? It's everything that's in your life. That's a simple way to say it. I'm responsible for everything my life touches and everyone my life touches. God has put that in front of me as part of the stewardship that I have. So the purpose of today's message is that you will see stewardship is the wise, God-honoring management of everything entrusted to us. Not just money, but time, relationships, influence, and spiritual gifts. So if stewardship is about managing all that God has entrusted, then one of the first questions is, well, where do we start? How do I start to become a good steward? Well, none of us are born wise stewards. So where must it begin? And I'm going to be in the book of Proverbs today. I'm going to bounce around a little bit, so fair warning. All the verses will be up on the screen, but I'm going to be moving through the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs, I always like to think of it, the whole Bible is God's instruction manual, but the book of Proverbs especially gives real and concrete principles that you can use in your daily life. The Bible does not address every single specific instance that all of us will ever live, but it gives every principle that you need to be a wise steward, that you need to live successfully in this world in the time that God has allowed it. So to start, we must first start with the understanding the foundation of stewardship. Point one is fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord, as we're going to read about in Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. I'm going to read that again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and discipline. Because if we don't fear the Lord, which means to understand the proper context of who God is, that He is the creator God of the universe, that He is not just some far-off, distant thing, that He is real, that He is inside of us, that He created us, that He knew all things, foresaw all things, ordained all things, He has the power of creation and destruction, that ultimately we will all stand before Him to be judged by Him. That's why you fear the Lord. That is why you have a proper understanding of who He is and who we are. So that will create the right posture of reverence, of respect, of appreciation, to trust God in His ways and in submission to His authority. As it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. When we fear the Lord, we recognize that everything we own really is His. And that perspective changes how you handle it. So when I think of this, I think of Paul, the Apostle Paul, that when he was in Rome, he was under house arrest. He owned nothing. He had nothing. And every day he was just simply waiting to be executed. They didn't tell him when it was coming, but he knew when it was coming. God had told him. He knew he was going to Rome. He knew that he would share the gospel in Rome. And that's where his story was going to end. But yet, he lived every day. It even said, if I die, I go to Christ. But if I live, I live to serve the people that God has put in my life. And so he was like, well, if I live, then I can serve the Lord. And if I die, then I go to the Lord. Having that right perspective, he had put all of himself off. I'm getting an echo. He had put all of himself off and had the right perspective on what his job was. So, you know, once our hearts are aligned with reverence and trust, stewardship moves from belief to action. And Proverbs gives us that practical application. The point two, the practice of stewardship is wise action. Because if we believe and if we understand, well, then we will see the action that God is calling us into. Because belief is not where it stops. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It isn't the whole thing. God has so much more laid out for us. We begin correctly. We begin believing that we are servants of Christ and that we are going to do what He has called us to do. But then we go into it. We see that we have action to take. We all have actions to take every day. If you wake up, if you're breathing air, if you're here or anywhere, God has actions for you to take today. And that is the practice of stewardship, is wise action. It touches every part of our life, our time, our resources, our generosity, and our diligence. In Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8, it says, go to the ant, you slacker. Observe its ways and become wise. Without leader, administrator, or ruler, It prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest. And that's just an ant. So the ant, think of how simple a creature that is, made by God, put on the earth, and it's just about what it's supposed to be doing. You see an ant, it's busy. It's doing something. You ever just see an ant hanging out? The ant is busy. He or she's doing what God has prepared for it to do. It works diligently in the season to prepare for the future. Stewardship means using your time wisely in preparation for the future and never wasting an opportunity that God gives you. So when you're thinking later today or maybe yesterday, when you're thinking about the week that's coming up ahead, you know, I got to go here, we got to go there, we have to do grocery shopping, and we got kids' activities. Do you have God on your calendar? Do you have prayer on your calendar? Do you have worship on your calendar? You may say, oh, I'm here today, we're worshiping now. Worship never stops. Do we prioritize the things of God so much so that they're in our life, they're on our calendars, they're in the flow of our life? This isn't just about come sit down for 45 minutes and get up and leave. That's not enough. It's not enough. That's not what you're called to. That's not the greatness and the life that you're called to. We are called to worship God at all times with our whole entire being. Or, like myself, do you find that your calendar is often a little too associated with just yourself? It's what I want to do. It's what I want. Achieving the things that I want. That is so normal and human. But God calls us to more. He calls us to that wise action defined in His scriptures. And then stewardship does include money. I'm not scared, I'm going to say it. Stewardship does include how you use your money, because it's a resource that you have in your life given to you by God. He is the owner of all things. We should understand that He is the owner of all things, and what He has given to us to manage includes our money. In Proverbs 11:24, it says, "One person gives freely, yet gains more. Another withholds what is right, only to become poor. A generous person will be enriched, and the one who gives a drink of water will receive water." If you give your money and you hold it with an open hand, and it just comes in and it goes, your possessions come in and they go, you give to who needs, you get and you give, you get and you give, you are showing one very important thing, that you trust God. That you trust God. Because if you don't, and you can tell when you don't, and I tell them myself, as my hands start to do this, they start to hold on. And, oh, this is mine. No, I don't want to let go of this. That's when your heart is telling you, you don't trust God in this moment. Because if you did, you would know what the scripture said about how He promises He will provide. He promises that He will provide. He doesn't suggest it. He doesn't, you know, hint at it. He tells us clearly He will provide. Maybe not riches like most of us know today in this country, the richest country that's ever existed on the face of the world, but He will provide what you need. He will give you the things that you need, but you can't look at them the way the rest of the world looks at them, because God's world, His economy, is upside down. It isn't about go, 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 and get, get, get. It's about give, give, give. It's about be. It's about do. It isn't going to make sense to the rest of the world. The rest of the world is trying to gather and hoard and take and keep. But we give. We give. Generosity starts in your family. Are you generous with your time, with your love, with your attention to your spouse, to your children? Do they get what they deserve from you? And then it goes to your church, to your local assembly. Are you giving of your money? Yes. Your time, your effort, your love, your attention, your church family. Are you there for them? We come in here and we say and we sing songs and we are one body and churches are family, but is it? That's only a question that you can answer in yourself. Is this church your family? Will you treat these members as members of your own family? Will you give when they need you? If you need, will you be honest that you need? Will you tell your church family how they can bless you? I can't read minds. There's lots of people. We have so much. But are you focusing on how can I get it out for God? How can I use this for God? Or is it just, ooh, it's mine and I'm going to hold on to it? And then what about your neighbor? You know, it's one thing, okay, I'll take care of my church family. But what about that neighbor that you don't like? What about that neighbor who lets his dog poop in your yard? I may or may not have one that does that. But God calls us to love our neighbors as ourselves. That takes a generous heart to say, I'm going to love this person as myself. And then God tells us in Proverbs 27, know well the condition of your flock and pay attention to your herds. For wealth is not forever. Not even a crown lasts for all time. Yes, God provides everything. God owns all things and he promises to provide. But then he does specifically tell us we better be diligent with what he gives us. There is a clear command to diligence. Diligence is doing the right thing, knowing what's going on. Here when he says flocks and herds, you say, I don't own any livestock. But you own savings accounts, bank accounts, jobs, retirement accounts, whatever you want to say. Flocks and herds were their business, were their sources of wealth. So it just goes to the same way. What's in front of you materially, God does call you to diligence in handling it. You are to spend wisely, to earn wisely, to provide for those that God has put in your path, your spouse, your children, your family, your church family. You are supposed to pay attention, knowing the state of what God has entrusted you so you can care for it wisely. And you look at your own finances, think about it like this. If someone else was running your life for you and you looked at what you have, would you fire that person? If they were running, if you hired someone to run your life and then you come in and look at it the way it is, would you fire that person? If so, and I've been there, change. Follow what God says. Get a hold of it. Be diligent. Know where your flocks are. Know where your dollars are going. Know if your taxes are filed. Know these things of your home. Know these things of your life. Because when we live with wisdom day by day, the result is more than just good management. The result is a legacy that will bless others long after we're gone. And my third point is that the fruit of stewardship is blessing and legacy. And I always have to, in our American context, blessing from the Lord may or may not mean riches. Sometimes it does. But when I say blessing, I mean blessing the things that God calls blessings. Hope, love, patience, joy. Those things, the things of God that he calls blessings. Not what the world calls blessing. Okay? So God promises to bless you the way he says it, not the way I want it. So it's important to know that because sometimes, well, I'm doing all this and it's not working. Oh, yeah? Have you not had peace? Have you not had hope? I want more money. Well, that's not exactly what God said he was going to bless you with. But into the diligence, Proverbs 13, verse 22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. A good name is to be chosen over great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. So it says that a wise man leaves an inheritance, but I should focus on a good name over great wealth. Well, it does not take great wealth to leave an inheritance. It does not take great wealth to do and be a wise and diligent steward. But how much more a good name? How much more a story of faith. My great-grandparents were named Victor and Mary Hillard, where Victor gets his name from. They were some of the most simple and faithful people that I think I've ever met. And of course, I come in as a kid, and I knew them, and I had the great blessing to know my paternal great-grandparents until I was 14. But looking back, they didn't have much. I mean, they had very little. They lived in a tiny little home, and they didn't come from anything. But yet, I never thought that when I would go over there, because they were always so happy to see you. You felt love. Love from your grandmother, love from my grandfather. They were happy to see you. They wanted to hear about you, wanted to talk about what's going on. All these things they left in me. It had nothing to do with what they owned and everything about who they were. Because they also left a legacy in our family that we go to church no matter what. That we, this is where we're going to be. You want to go? Great. I don't feel like going today. Too bad. We're going. And that has carried down the generations, and I am instilling it in my children. And I hope that, pray that they instill it in their children. But this matters. This matters. I don't care what the world says. Being here right now, it matters, because it tells me that your heart at least says, I know this is important, and here I am. Here I am. I'm going to worship the Lord today. And so think about that, because that is towards the heart of the gospel. He has entrusted us with life, salvation, and influence. How we steward what the Lord gives us will echo into eternity. And it is eternity that we should be concerned about. All of us will see it. Whether you believe or not, the Bible is hyper clear. You all have immortal souls. I have an immortal soul. You all do. We all will see eternity, all of us. Will you see it in heaven or hell? Will Christ be your Lord and Savior on that day? Or will he be your judge on that day? Because we all will face it. It is universal to every man that has lived since Adam until the Lord returns. And we know this because God's design was perfect. But then sin enters, and sin leads to brokenness, broken relationships, broken hearts, broken people. But God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He took on flesh, he took on our burdens, and he lived the life that we couldn't. He was the sacrifice that we could never make. And he calls us to repent, which means to stop doing what you're doing and turn away from the sin that you were living in, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when you do that, the gospel then allows you to recover and pursue. That's where stewardship will start. It starts with repenting, recovering, and then pursuing the things of God. So, as I'm getting ready to close, stewardship begins with the fear of the Lord. If you don't understand who God is and who you are, none of the rest is going to make sense. If you don't understand the authority the Lord has over you, it's not going to make sense. But when you do, it will and it can. And then you can live out the things that God has given you in wise action with your time, your resources, and your generosity to leave a legacy, to impact children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to impact a church family for generations. I think we can all, when we think about someone, when I say someone who is faithful, that a dear saint that's passed on, we all can think of some person who's like, wow, they really affected me. Their faith affected me. And I guarantee that none of that had to do with how much money they had. It had everything to do with their faith and how they lived it out. So as we close, think of this. Am I managing God's gifts in a way that shows that I fear him, that I trust him, and I want to bless others? Pray with me. Lord, everything we have is yours. Teach us to steward it with wisdom, generosity, and diligence, so that our lives bring you glory and leave a legacy of faith.